Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning, church. And if you would go to, just open it up. You know, I'm so glad y'all are all here this morning, and it's Easter. Resurrection Day is why we're here. Amen. And you know, as a Christian, we'd have nothing to do if Jesus hadn't risen from the grave. That's why we're here. We're here to remember that, you know. So many times people have asked me different questions about this and different times and trying to tie in the Old Testament and the Passover and you can just go down a rabbit trail sometimes, so far down you can't dig yourself back out. But I want you to understand one thing. There's one thing that makes any difference to a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, and that is the question is, did Jesus rise from the grave? There's a movie, I watched it last night. I watch it all the time. It's called Risen. It was one produced not too long ago. And it's a really good movie. It's talking about the resurrection and all. But as I was watching it last night, I got to thinking about how we have this picture of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is so amazing. And he's everywhere he's going, he's healing people. And, you know, blind eyes opening up, 10 lepers getting healed. Goes and messes a funeral up, right? They're having a funeral of Nahum, and he just messes the whole funeral up. They were having a reception and everything afterwards. And now the guy's alive, goes up, taps on the coffin, raises him. How about Lazarus? You know, sees Mary and Martha all heartbroken, and he goes to the tomb, and he says, you know, Lazarus, come forth. And here come old Lazarus hopping out of his with his grave clothes on. I mean, you know, the Lord loved to freak everybody out, but also he just was doing miracles, right? He's going through a crowd of people. Everybody's touching him. Everybody's all over him. And some lady with an infirmity for 18 years goes up and just touches the back of his hem of his garment, and boom, man gets healed. And then Jesus says, who touched me? And everybody says, what are you talking about? Who touched you? The whole crowd, everybody's, you know, hitting against you, Jesus. And he said, no, I perceived power went out of me, healed somebody. Something happened. This was Jesus, okay? You got to imagine what it would be like being one of his disciples, walking him, seeing this. I mean, come on, folks. When you see a leper get healed, I've never seen a leper get healed. But I imagine it's an astounding, amazing thing. He gets healed. And you're seeing all this. So you know if you're one of the disciples. You know when you're with Jesus, like, I mean, everything's going to be okay. Nothing can touch him. Nothing can touch him. He's untouchable. He's the Messiah. He's King. He's God. He's everything. You got it. And then Good Friday comes. And they've bound up, because you see, so many times in our life, we go to reasoning in everything that we're doing. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to reason it all out. We're trying to say, well, if this would happen, and then if that, and if this happened, and that. But here they've been seeing miracles, noteworthy miracles. I mean, it's a noteworthy miracle when a man who's been dead for 4 days comes jumping out of the hole. I would call that a noteworthy miracle. Not like just prayed for somebody that had a runny nose, had oak allergies, and it was gone. I mean, I'll take it. But you follow me here. Noteworthy things had been taking place, and now all of a sudden, everybody's in disarray. Everybody's just, you know, totally messed up. Because, wait a minute, Jesus is on a cross. They can't put it together. They can't get it all figured out. And you know, I'm sure at that moment, because most of the time when you're in a catastrophe, something's going on. Most of the time when something like that takes place, you're kind of shocked. It takes a while to get yourself, you know, going. And they weren't remembering the words of Jesus. They weren't remembering. They're just seeing him crucified. And they're thinking, this is not supposed to be happening. And so there they are. Now he's in the tomb. And he goes into the tomb. And then day one, you know, they're just at home. They're sick. They're gut-wrenched. Jesus, how could this have happened? Day two, waking up, nobody's hungry, nobody wants to eat, they're all just sitting around, These guys gave up their fishing careers. They gave up everything that they had. They'd left and followed Jesus. And all of a sudden, man, it's all over. He's dead. And then day three comes. And then here come the women back from the tomb. Say, man, he's alive. He spoke to us in the garden. Okay, so I'm going to encourage you this morning from this point on. Because I've been preaching for 3 weeks on faith. And I want to just tie this into this message about faith. Because you may be thinking in life, you don't have much faith. You may be thinking in life, you know, I don't really know how to have great faith. I don't know. But listen to this. His disciples who had been with him for 3.5 years, that had seen all of these miracles, when they told him he was resurrected, they said, "You're crazy. What do you mean? That's too much. We can't believe it that he is out of the grave." And he says, it says that they shunned the women. They said, crazy women. Dismissed them. And then Jesus just appeared right with them. And then to look at it and see, this is why I love serving Jesus. Because, sometimes we try to get so spiritual. And Jesus shows up in the midst of them and says, "Y'all got anything to eat?" Seriously. He says, "You got anything to eat?" I love it. It's real. But those great disciples who'd seen all those miracles, it said they were full of doubt and unbelief. So much so that then the disciples tell Thomas, right? And Thomas says, "Oh, y'all are all crazy." Now he's calling Peter crazy. He's calling everybody crazy. He says, "None of y'all got this right." Hello? So you think, oh, well, they had this great faith. Well, listen to me. They didn't have any faith because it says right there, they were in doubt. And so I've been preaching about faith and about how all God's looking for is for you to produce faith so that he can move. Once you produce faith that he can move, well, then you know what happens? Miracles. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 15:3. So we're going to look at the first place today that you need to be exhibiting faith. 1 Corinthians 15:3. "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly that they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me." Now jump down to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15:12. "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those that have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiable." The Apostle Paul says that everything in your Christian walk starts right here at your faith and belief in the resurrection of Jesus. If you don't believe in a resurrection, Then he says, your faith is futile. He said, you're still caught, you're still bound in your sins. Because you see, Jesus' resurrection showed that he was true to the King. So that he could say over to John in Revelation, I got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Without him saying that, of him not being Lord, then he couldn't make the sacrifice as a Lamb of God on the altar of God for your and my sins. We'd still be trying to appease God. We'd still be trying to see that God accepted us. And folks, so many Christians I know, they're still trying to live life in works. They're still trying to live life in I've got to do this because I'm going to please God. I've got to go do this because I need to please God. And folks, listen to me. That's living under the old law. Oh, you don't need to go act like a heathen. You don't need to go out and just run wild. And, you know, that's not what it means either. We don't preach cheap grace, but what I'm talking about is it comes through faith and belief in Jesus, that he's the one that forgave you of your sins. His blood was enough on that cross, and his resurrection put the stamp of approval on it, and that's got you covered. If you're believing in anything else, your good works, if you're believing it because you got a nice smile, because you do good things, because you bake cookies and take them to the homeless or whatever you may do in life, folks, I want to tell you something. It's not going to work. You're not going to be able to go to heaven, stand before God, and whip out your paper and say, here's all the good things I did. He'll say, so what? There's only one way we get to go to heaven. That's through the blood of Jesus. There's only one way you're going to get forgiven, and that's through the blood of Jesus. And the quicker our faith is in this and we understand this and it becomes the bedrock of our foundation, that Jesus arose from the dead to show that he was Lord, and your faith is in that, well, then you get to see power working in your life. There's too many people that are debating it. They want to know, you know, oh, that, how could that be? Well, listen, you got to get out of the realm of reasoning because your little mind can't reason it. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but it's the truth. I was watching the other day a video on how they make instant coffee. How many of y'all in here know the process and can tell me how they make instant coffee? Raise your hand. There you go. I'll take that, Indy. See, we're all on the same deal. I was watching this thing in amazement, like, who thought up this stuff? Who was the person that came up with the idea of how to make instant coffee? Okay? My mind couldn't reason it. Why would any person? It's this crazy process where they basically take the cocoa beans, they brew it down, then they put it into a mist and they spray it up and it goes on these metal sheets and it falls down and it goes on the other side and then they freeze it somehow. I don't know what they're doing. I got lost after all that. All I'm just saying is who does that? Who thinks about that stuff? So my reasoning couldn't even come into it. Well, you can't reason the resurrection of Jesus. You have to, by faith, accept it and believe it. I say that the 500 people that saw him, I say that all the apostles that saw him, I say all that the apostle Paul did, I say all of that. I mean, that's pretty good evidence for me that this took place over in Israel 2,000 years ago, yet you're sitting here on a Sunday morning because you believe it, when you could find something better to do as far as just activity than coming here to church. Hello? But there's something that on the inside of us says, no, I know Jesus is real. I don't really can't reason it. I can't maybe understand it, but by faith, I know he's real. By faith, I know he touched my life. By faith, I know that I've heard my testimony, other people's testimony of what God did for them and delivered them and set them free. People that were drug addicts, people that were lost and undone in life that God grabbed hold of, not because they did everything right, but because something on the inside of them called faith, they turned it on. The light switch got switched, got turned on. The faith switch flipped up. And they believed that Jesus was real, that what he said was true, that the Bible was true. And that same resurrection power that blew Jesus right out of that grave touched their life, changed them. That's what it's all about, church. Jesus said in John 14, 1, we always hear this scripture at a funeral or something like that because it's supposed to comfort our hearts. But I want you to listen to this. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Listen, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus didn't want you troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, well, believe also in me. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, you can say, do you believe in God? And they say, well, yeah, you know. But that's as far as they go. Jesus said, well, you believe in God? Well, wait a minute. Believe in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So Jesus put it before everybody and said, look. Let me show you something. Jesus said this. You know, I can seem like, look, guys, let me show you this. Look, don't be troubled. Don't be all freaked out. Don't be all worried and anxious. Just listen to me. You believe in God, well, just believe also in me. Because I'm going to go prepare a place. I'm going to go get this all ready for you, and that where I am, you're going to come with me. Do you believe me? This is what he's saying to them. Do you believe in me? So their faith, he was challenging them for their faith to take some action. I told y'all last week, faith has action to it. If faith doesn't move you, you're not in faith, you're in hope. You can sit down and have hope, but faith makes you move. Think about this. I hope your faith brought you here today, not just the scorn of your wife, you know? I hope you're voluntarily here, not coerced. And maybe you were a little bit, but faith brought you here. Your faith took action. You got it. You came to church. To a Christian, it should be like this. Okay, listen to me. To a Christian, your faith then, after you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, your faith then takes action. So then you want to serve Jesus. It should be down here, not here. Not somebody having to force you to. It should be a natural something that just comes out of you to want to serve the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 5. It says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Okay, look at something. The righteousness of faith, it speaks. Everybody say it speaks. Faith speaks. Hope watches. Faith has action. Hope sits. Faith says something. He said, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? Well, the word's near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you realize that when Paul is talking to the Romans, he's saying it's your action of saying something and making a profession and a confession out of your mouth. That action is what brings about salvation. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know how to stress this more. Faith has got to have action to it. You can sit around and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that. He was raised from the dead. I believe it. But then that doesn't motivate you that you serve a living Savior, one that came up out of the grave. You see, it's got to change your confession, everything. Then that means all of a sudden that prayer works. Are you following what I'm saying? That means going to church has a benefit. That means reading the word, all of a sudden, it works. That means that touching somebody and praying over them, God can move. Right? You see, your faith becomes motivated. It becomes coming out of your mouth. It's not just you went once to an altar and said, yes, I believe in Jesus. You know, it changes your whole life. Your whole confession, your whole speech out of your mouth, your whole everything is going to be led by your faith. If you believe it, you're going to say it. Hello? Faith's going to motivate you. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's always looking for faith. He's just looking for you to believe and to walk and to do it. But how is he going to know if you never say anything? We say, oh, God knows everything. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. Well, he does. But your faith motivates you. It causes you to say something. It causes you to look at your family and say, everything's going to be okay. God's got us covered. I prayed. It's going to be all right. I talked to God. If you said, I talked to God, I'm not sure he heard me, I don't know what's going to happen, you better just fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be rough. Well, that doesn't sound like any kind of faith, right? If you want to know where your faith is and your faith level is, just listen to what comes out of your mouth. You say, I don't think we're going to make it. You're probably not. We're going to go broke. You probably will. You stand in front of the mirror and say, Father, I thank you that I am a child of God, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. Whew, man, filled with resurrection power on the inside of me. Now we're talking. You say, well, you're just talking about the power of positive thinking. No, I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I said this last week, but I saw a little video of a preacher who gave this, so I don't know who the guy was. I didn't even catch who the preacher was, but I'm just repeating it. He said that he knew a man that was that he lived to 100 years old. Now, don't take this for, I'm just telling you, all right? Don't go practice this. He said he smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day and drank a pint of whiskey his whole life. Every day, lived to be 100. So the preacher asked him, what's the secret to your life? He said, oh, it's real simple. He said, I wake up every morning. And as soon as my eyes open, I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I declare the resurrecting power of Jesus runs through my body. It rejuvenates me and heals my body. He said, I've said that every day of my life. Okay, so the religious mind would say, well, the dude smoking cigarettes and drinking a pint, God would have answered his prayer. The reasoning person would say, well, good God, the cigarettes should have killed him, right? His liver ought to be shot drinking a pint every day. That's the reasoning. But the faith says, wait a minute, the resurrecting power of God was flowing through his body, and that's what he confessed, and that's where his faith was, and that's what he believed when that's what the scripture says. But we usually don't believe it. Like I'm saying, I'm not telling you to go out and smoke 2 packs and drink a pint, okay? So don't take it away. Pastor said we could go to drink it. Don't do that. I'm just saying. The confession of his mouth caused this man to live 100 years. Because when faith is connected to the power of God, folks, something's going to happen in your life. When you believe that God is with you, that he truly is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And that every day when you're walking, he's still there. You say, well, I didn't see him today. Well, don't make no difference. What does your faith say? What does your faith say? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. It says, but it's written, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you see what these words say? You hear it. Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, God's got great things prepared for you, but you're not hearing it and you're not seeing it. Great things. But then he goes on, verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So again, it may be beyond your reasoning abilities, but it's not beyond the Holy Ghost to show you. It's not beyond the power of the Holy Ghost to show you. Now remember Romans 8 and 11 I gave you a while ago. That same resurrection power is inside of you. You folks, listen to me. If you just live in your life in your own capacity, I'm telling you, you're going to fall short. You're going to fit the first part of that scripture. You're going to go through life saying, well, I don't know. Doesn't do any good to pray. I prayed once and nothing happened. Well, pray again and change the way you pray. He said, well, I did. I changed the way I pray. Well, then go find somebody to get in agreement with you. Because I'm telling you, prayer works. It is so amazing. The one thing I am glad about being older is I can look back. I have lived long enough serving Jesus that I can look back, and there's so many times my wife and I were like, our legs were like this. We were just trembling, didn't think we were going to make it. And God bailed us out. And then all of a sudden I can look back now and I can say, look at that time. I can remember. Yeah, I remember that. I remember asking, God, why have you forsaken me? I felt like Jesus on the cross sitting there saying, God, why have you forsaken me? Do you need to do something? This is terrible. And then when the deliverance came, and I was like, oh, you were already, then I can look back and say, oh, you were already doing it over here and I didn't see it. And I've lived long enough in Christ to be able to say, I can have these times and I can look back and say, look what you were doing. You were doing this. And I was weak-kneed and falling out of faith, and I was trying to believe and put my big boy self on and trying to be brave when really I was trembling inside. My faith was weak. Faith was nothing. I didn't know God was going to do anything because I had really not seen him move. But like I can say now, I can turn around and look backwards. I stuck it out. I kept walking, just kept putting one foot, even my step was just a little half step. I just kept going forward, kept telling the family, no, Jesus is going to take care of us. This is real. God saved us. He's delivered us. We're set free. Everything's going to be okay. Come on, we just got to keep going. May not understand why it's working. We just got to keep going. Yeah, you know, just go. And then I saw the deliverance. But he showed us a better way here. I didn't really understand it. I didn't really know it because he says the Holy Spirit will show us. And in my early days, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand how all I had to really do, because that's what the Lord said. He said, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back down. And all I had to do was just ask, and he would be there. He'd show me. He'd help me. And see, my faith, I wasn't building. I didn't understand the principles of building faith and walking in the things of faith. Hello? I was dependent upon my own strength, my own reasoning ability. I was trying to reason everything. I gave you last week Psalms 44, 4. Told you you ought to be able to remember 4, 4, 4. And it says, but you are my king, O God, so command victories for Jacob. And I told you need to change that to where it says, you are my king, O God, so command victories for you. Put your name in there. Because all of a sudden now you have gone from being a person who was lost and undone to being a person who knew and believed and by faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ brought you into the sonship and the kingship you needed to be. That's why Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of Christ. What's the good news of Christ? He's risen. He's Lord. He said, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's the gospel message. This message I'm preaching to you, if a person connects with it by faith, it becomes power to them. It becomes power to them. Wow. It's right there. The power of God's right there available to each and every person. Every believer. Power of God's is available. It's right there. What do we have to happen? What has to happen? Our faith has to get connected. You can go buy a light, go buy a lamp, put it in your house. Look at how pretty it is. It'll never turn on unless you plug it in the socket. You can take it back to the store and say, this thing don't work. I say, would you plug it in? No, I didn't plug it in. Same thing with a Christian. You say, well, I've been serving Jesus all these days, but he's never really done anything for me. Well, did you get plugged in? Did you get your faith turned on? Did you get plugged in? Or have you just been sitting around in hope, waiting for the light to pop on? Another scripture, 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Wow. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What does it say? Our faith. The victory that's going to overcome the world is your faith. 1 John 5:4 is one of my favorite scriptures. Because it's just, I mean, look at it. Whatever. See, it doesn't even say whoever. It says whatever. So that, I categorize it like if you're a smart person, a dumb person, cowboy, you know, baker, whatever, you know, candlestick maker, whatever is born of God has that ability and that power on the inside of you to overcome the world. And so how does it operate? Well, this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's your faith. Your faith has got to be that motivating part on the inside of you that compels you, that takes you out. Something goes wrong, you immediately say, well, let's pray. Let's talk to the Lord about it because that's what's going to work. Your faith moves you. In this room, as I look around at so many of you, and I know your testimony, you're sitting here and thinking the same thing as I'm thinking this morning. Man, praise God. He saved me. Thank God he delivered me. How'd that happen? Well, we came to that place in life. And then we finally said, Jesus, I believe in you. What were we saying? We believe in your resurrection. We believe you're the Son of God. You've got the answer. And folks, our lives changed. I don't care what atheist, I don't care what. You get me a room full of atheists and a room full of scientists, and they can all go to try to dissect me and whatever. I'm just going to sit here and say, look, I don't tell you. I just didn't tell you what happened. I was lost and undone, about to blow my brains out, and I cried out to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're really real, I want to know you. And then all of a sudden, something happened, and power of God hit me, and I'm changed into another man, and I got up and never had the same attitudes again, walked away from it, never had a, you know, just went on. Woo-hoo. And they said, well, that can't happen. You must have had some sort of psychotic breakdown. It was a good one. Glory to God, it was a good one if I had one. Well, there's no God, that, you know, that's not right. Well, I don't know what, I don't know what to tell you. This is what happened to me. And then I just told people my story, and then they believed, and then it happened to them. And it's just been an ongoing chain effect. All because of that, we turned our faith on. So, I don't know where everyone's at this morning. This morning, we're going to have communion. And here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're more than welcome to have communion with us. But if you're in here today, and maybe you were someone that was coerced, maybe you were held at knife point to come to church, threatened, well, then I want you to know, I'm glad you're here, because then at least you have the ability to turn your faith on in Jesus to change your life. If you're out there listening and watching, I just want you to know, wherever you are, there's no distance in spirit. And right wherever you are, even if you're listening to this message 3 weeks later, it doesn't make any difference. Your faith and belief in Jesus Christ is what saves you. And like Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So if you're out there, you can just call upon the name of the Lord right where you are. If you're in here today, we're going to have communion. You're going to be able to come to the front. You're going to be served communion. There'll be prayer team people up here. See, there's most of the time, listen to this. Most of the time, I don't like selfish people. I don't really care for selfish, self-centered people. But today, I'll give you a pass. You can be as selfish as you want to be. You can come to the front. You can take all of Jesus you want. You can grab hold of one of the prayer team people, take all their time. I don't care. There's plenty of Jesus to go around. So I'll let you just be as selfish and self-centered. I don't care if you hog the row. I don't care if you're crossing a scene. Doesn't make any difference. If you're hungry for Jesus, he's here for you today. And today's a day for us to turn our faith on. Don't live in depression. Don't live in anxiety. Don't live in these things. Get your confession coming out and saying, no, God delivers me. And just watch him do it. Psalms 4:4:4. Just say, I'm 4:4:4 in it today, Lord. Command some victories for Robert. Get your faith going and watch what he'll do for you. Amen? So what I want you to do is just put your Bibles up and get comfortable there and just start letting the Holy Spirit talk to you. And can I have my prayer team, anybody that's going to help me, pastoral team, whoever's helping me up here this morning? Are you hurting? You know, church, I just can't say enough. of how impressed I am with Jesus. Of the things that he does for people. And you can go ahead and play that if you want. I like it. And if you... I just know Jesus. I know him. And I know he's here. And I know he wants to help you. And if you just turn your faith on. Some of you, I'm telling you, you need to come, when you come to the front to take communion, you need to make a confession. I'm not talking about maybe, you may know you're saved. You may know that you're right. If you died, you're going to heaven. I'm not talking about that type of confession. I'm talking about a confession you may need to just say, Jesus, I believe in you. You're going to get me out of this mess. I'm trusting you. I'm putting my faith in you right now. You need to make it out of your mouth. You need to say something. I don't care if it's a small whisper, but it's something that needs to motivate you. And you watch what Jesus will do. Amen? So the Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he took bread and that he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, now take and eat. For this is my body which is broken for you. Jesus went to the cross. He took all those stripes upon him. So that we could come here today and partake of his broken body. That we could be healed in our bodies. Could be healed in our emotions and healed in our souls. Wherever we're broken. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for it, that you gave your life so that we could have life. So take and eat. And then you took the cup, and you said, this cup is a new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Drink it in remembrance of me. And, Lord, the forgiveness of sin, the weight of sin off our shoulders. Lord, all the stupid things we've ever done, you offer forgiveness for us. All we have to do is repent. So, Lord, we thank you for what this cup represents. The forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on now, church. Turn your faith on and receive from the Lord. Well, church, stand to your feet if you would. I encourage you, take the rest of the day and celebrate. Celebrate the resurrection. Celebrate that Jesus is alive. Celebrate that you're forgiven of your sins. Man, I mean, it's one of those days you ought to just lay down your easy chair right before you take a nap and get a big old smile on your face and say, man, whew, I'm glad we got it covered, Lord. Amen. So, Father, I just pray over this congregation. I pray today, Lord God, for revelation in each and every one of our hearts, for our eyes being open and for us to be led by the Holy Spirit into all the glorious and wondrous things that you have for us, Lord. Father, I declare faith is active today. We're not going to be living in hope. We're living in faith. And we know that, Lord, you're going to take care of us. You're going to get us to the end. You're going to do everything that's needed. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless them. Exceedingly abundant today as they rejoice and celebrate your resurrection in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.